Yes, we are very thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, if you have your Bible, John chapter number 3. And you probably came here tonight. If you're coming for the meal, you probably came with an appetite, but maybe not with the Bible in hand. But if you could look on with somebody who has a Bible, it could be a help. I want you to see tonight what we're reading from is not some encyclopedia or dictionary or USA Today, but it is, we're reading from the Word of Almighty God. And so we're in John chapter number 3. Boy, it was a wonderful meal tonight. I should say wonderful meals tonight. That was incredible and outstanding. I'm not going to have to eat again for a whole nother 8 to 10 hours. And so that was incredible. It's just hard to believe. We go from one table, and I should have been warned not to fill up so much on one plate. And then I did see a few juggling 2 and 3 plates, and I thought it was the waiter, and then I saw that person eating, so I hope it wasn't the waiter carrying 2 and 3 plates eating, but that's the way to go, and someone figured it out. Awfully good. Thankful for that. Thankful for those who worked and prepared so that we could benefit from it. John chapter number 3, you have that? If you would, please, out of respect for the Bible, would you join me in standing? We'll read a few verses in John chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. In John 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Thank you. Please be seated. It was April 14th, 1912, that the Titanic left Southampton, England on its maiden voyage to New York's harbor. This floating palace consisted of 2,207 passengers on board. It was recognized as the largest, one of the largest and finest luxurious liners ever put out to sea. This floating palace, the crew and the captain, John Smith, had such confidence in that when one passenger voiced her concern about the safety of the ship, it was overheard one of the crewmen saying, "Lady, this is a ship that not even God himself could sink." But as we're well aware of the fact that a few hours into its maiden voyage, the Titanic encountered a deceptively large iceberg. And the Titanic suffered tremendous loss. Nearly 1,500 people went to a watery grave. The tragedy, in my estimation, is not that nearly 1,500 people died. The tragedy, in my estimation, is that nearly 1,500 people died that did not have to do so. For at least on 5 separate occasions, the Titanic was warned. They were warned about the dangers. They were told to proceed with caution. You know, there are many people going through life much like those on board the Titanic, being warned of the dangers that lie ahead, warned of the fact that the Bible is crystal clear that there is an eternity. And there are many that will refuse to heed the cautions and the warnings. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ is encountered by one of the most religious men of his day, a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. The Bible says that he's a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. And this man, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus and he actually pays a compliment to Jesus. He says, "No one can do the things that you do except you be of God." And Jesus did not even say thank you. Jesus looked him in the eyes and said to the most religious man and one of the most respected men of his day and his society, and Jesus said to that religious, respected man, "You must be born again." I submit to you that if Jesus says you must be born again, then you must be born again. These few moments, I simply want us to see what everybody needs, what every man needs, what every boy needs, what every woman needs, what every young girl needs, what everybody born into this world needs is what Jesus says that we need, and that is to be born again. Whatever you do, don't tune out the message. Whatever you do, don't shrug off the importance of Jesus' words. Whatever you do, don't dismiss what God is trying to accomplish within your heart and life. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the welcomed or accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7 says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Whatever you do, don't dismiss what God's trying to accomplish within your life. You are not primarily a body that contains a soul. But the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter number 1 that when God created man, God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. You are primarily a soul that simply contains a body. If you were to reject Jesus and take your final breath, you will live forever as long as God lives. But if you live this earthly life and you take your last breath without ever having experienced the new birth, you will be separated from God for all of eternity. You might be a man who has degrees off the chart and an IQ that is above most people. But if you reject Jesus, you'll spend an eternity a fool. You might be one that is extremely rich or wealthy, but if you die without Jesus, you'll spend an eternity as a pauper. You might be one that is living life to the fullest, getting and enjoying everything that satisfies you. But if you die without Jesus, you'll live an eternity in suffering and pain. Jesus asked this question, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? What everybody needs is to be born again. Why would Jesus say to the most religious, respected man of his day, you must be born again? Because Nicodemus needed to be born again. Three reasons why Nicodemus needed to be born again, and three reasons why we too need the new birth. See, the new birth, being born again, is when God reaches down into your heart and He takes that heart of ours and He washes it white as snow. He makes it clean, as Isaiah put it. He takes it and He regenerates. He brings about life into it. He takes that which is broken and He makes it new. He makes a new creation, and it's only that which God can do. Three reasons why we need God to reach down into our heart and make us a new creation. Number one, because of the condition that we have. Nicodemus, though he was religious, though he was respected, his condition was the same as everyone who is born into this world. He had a sin condition. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 3, that Jesus Christ, compared to the serpent in the wilderness, must be lifted up. Jesus Christ too must be lifted up to die upon the cross. Why was it that Jesus died upon the cross? Jesus didn't die for his own failure. Jesus didn't die for the sins that he committed, for he committed no sin. He never said a bad word, never thought a bad deed, never did anything wrong. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sin. See, the fact is, we all have a problem that we're born with. It's not a disease, it is called sin. Jesus died for our sin. Sometimes people say, well, what you call sin may not be sin to me. That's true. But what God calls sin is sin every single time. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 that sin is the breaking of God's law. There are hundreds and hundreds of laws. In fact, Nicodemus memorized 613 of those laws. But the most familiar laws to us perhaps would be the ones known as the Ten Commandments. They're not 10 good ideas or 10 suggestions, but they are 10 commandments. Commandment number 3 tells us not to take the name of the Lord God in vain. Perhaps that's the one broken most often in our homes or workplaces. Someone stubs their toe walking to the bathroom in the middle of the night and they may say, oh my, and plug in God's name. It just broke commandment number 3. It's called sin. Commandment number 5 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Ever disobey or dishonor, show disrespect. It's a violation of God's law. It's called sin. Commandment number 7 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is not just when two people who have committed to one another through the sanctity of marriage, they cheat on one another with somebody else that they're not married to. That too is adultery and that is sin. But Jesus also said that adultery is anytime a man looks upon a woman that he's not married to and lusts after that woman. Jesus said he's guilty of committing sin already in his heart, adultery. Commandment number 9 says, thou shalt not bear false witness, don't lie. Now, whenever you break commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Whenever you break commandment number 9, thou shalt not lie. Well, you might could run for the office or the presidency of the United States of America, but God still calls it sin. Society says these are not a big deal. Everybody does it. And God says, Romans 3 and verse 23, everybody has a sin problem. We must be born again because we're born in a bad condition. We're born as sinners. Not only did Nicodemus need to be born again because of his sin problem, not only must everybody be born spiritually from above because of the problem we too have with sin, but Nicodemus needed to be born again and we need to be birthed into the family of God because of the consequence of sin. The Bible tells us in verse number 17, the Bible says that this matter of God sending his son into the world was not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. In verse number 16, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without Jesus Christ as our Savior and being birthed into the family of God, we have the consequence facing us of our sin, and that is to perish without Christ. That is condemnation without Jesus Christ. And this condemnation is here upon this earth, here in this life. It's not waiting to be condemned. Everyone who's not experienced the new birth, everyone who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior is condemned right now already. And when you take your last breath and your heart stops ticking and you've not yet experienced the new birth, there is going to be the consequence of eternal separation from God, the one who loves you, Jesus, the one who died for you, in a place known as hell. Someone says, well, isn't that kind of outdated and old-fashioned, hell? It's about as old-fashioned as breathing and water. But the fact is, Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven, because he warned people, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Somebody says, well, hell is what I'm going through right now. If that were true, Jesus would have said, get out of hell. But Jesus said, don't go to hell. He preached, it's better for you to take your eye and to pluck it out than to go into hell with two eyes. It's better for you to take your arm and cut one also and enter into heaven with just one arm than to go into hell with both arms. He preached in Luke 16, one of the hottest messages on hell. And he talked about a man who, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he uses the word, he was in torment. A man said to me, when I go to hell, I'm going to party with my friend. The problem with that is, if he goes to hell, he won't see his friend. He might hear his friend scream. There's no partying in hell. A man said to me after a service one time, rather bothered, he said, preacher, I've been through the war. I've been through a lot of things. I've been in a lot of gunfights. You can't scare me with hell. You can't scare me with anything. He reached into his pocket and he pulled out a cigarette lighter. He lit the lighter and put his hand over top. And he commenced to tell me how he could not be frightened by the concept of hell. I figured it's his lighter. It's his hand. I've got time. And so as he talked, I listened. After a period of time, he put the lighter out, put it in his pocket, and he put his hand in my face, and I could see where the flame had burnt his hand, and it oozed up and pussed and began to come down his hand. He said, preacher, I'm not afraid of hell. I'm not afraid of anything. I said, listen to me carefully, sir. You've got two huge problems. Number one, hell is not a cigarette lighter. And number two, you cannot put it out. Let me ask you, when are you going to take your last breath? When will your heart cease to tick? You don't know, do you? But God does. And that's why he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not only must you be born again because we have a problem called sin. Not only must we be born again because there's a consequence for sin, and it's called hell. But the third reason that we need to be born into the family of God is because of the personal choice that God has given to us. For God, verse 16, so loved the world. Aren't you thankful we heard about that in that song? God so loved the world. You know why you're here tonight? It's not because someone just invited you. It's not because you were coming to see this service. It's not because you are coming just to participate in a wonderful meal. You're here tonight because God so loves you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and that means you, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's your choice. What you choose to do with Jesus Christ will determine what happens to you in eternity. No one goes to hell because of the number of their sins. No one goes to hell because of a specific sin such as suicide or murder. People go to hell according to John chapter 3 and verse 18. People miss heaven and go to hell because they refuse to make the necessary choice to trust Jesus as their own personal Savior. The fact is, sin is your problem. Hell is the consequence, but Jesus is the answer. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? Because Nicodemus had been born already. He had been born physically. In fact, everyone sitting here this evening and standing, we have all experienced a physical birth, else we would not be here. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as you were born physically in order to see heaven, in order to enter heaven, you must be born spiritually. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've always believed in God? I've asked people on occasion, Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever been born spiritually? And I've had people say to me, I've always believed. I've always been saved. That's an impossibility. That'd be like me asking, hey, when's your birthday? And you say, I don't have one. I've always been alive. Well, they have coats for people like that, and they usually tie off in the back. We all have a birthday. For some of us, it was just a long, long time ago. And Jesus said, just as you came into this world, definitely. Just as you came into this world physically, there must be a definite time in which you recognize sin is your problem and hell is your consequence. And there's a time you recognize Jesus is your answer and you come to the conclusion, I don't want my sin. I don't want to go to hell. I need Jesus. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say you needed to join the church. The church cannot save you. No preacher can save you. Why? Because no preacher ever died for your sins, was buried and resurrected and is living on high waiting to save your soul. No church can do anything with your sin. Somebody says, well, I've been baptized. What does that mean? That means you got wet. That's what it means. Jesus said you must be birthed into the family of God. And just as you could not birth yourself into this world, you cannot birth yourself into the family of God, but He can. He's waiting for you to come to the conclusion. Sin is my problem and I don't want my sin. And hell is where I'm heading and I don't want to go to hell. Jesus is my answer and I do want Him. And if you will call out tonight and choose Jesus Christ and let him do what no preacher, what no religious organization can do, what no church can do, what you can't do, but what He died to save you and do and complete within your life, let Him do it. He will save your soul. And the wonderful thing is, you only have to do it one time. You only have to get saved one time. How do you know? Jesus only died one time. He was buried one time. He was resurrected one time. And if you ever recognize sin is your problem, hell is the consequence, Jesus is the answer, I don't want my sin, I don't want to go to hell, and you call upon Jesus to save you, He will save you. And if you ever have to do it again, Jesus would have to die again, and He's never going to die again. The question is, what are you going to do about it tonight? The ship California had warned the Titanic. After the fifth warning went forth, the Titanic, the unsinkable ship, passengers purchased tickets of different classes. But when the ship went down, it made no difference whether you were first class, second class, or third class. It made no difference how much money you had in the account. They were all in need of rescuing. After the fifth warning, the Titanic sent back four words. Shut up. Shut up. And they turned the radio off. Whatever you do tonight, friend, don't tell Jesus no. Would you mind bowing your heads with me? And with heads bowed and I'd like to pray with you here in just a moment. My prayer does not save. I cannot save anybody. I wish I could. I think at times I wish I could, but I can't. The reality is you can't save yourself. But what I was hoping to get across tonight is that there's one and only one who can save you and longs to save you. But what I would love to do before we're dismissed and you go back to your place of living and your business and all that you have facing you in your life, I would love to pray for you. If tonight God is dealing with you and there's a tug at your heart and you realize that sin is a problem, sin is what is in your life, sin is what the Bible says we are born with and we're born in sin. You realize that sin is your problem. And because of that, you agree with what God says. Not the preacher, but you agree with God. Hell is more than a cuss word. Hell is a place that we are heading without Jesus. Sin is your problem. Hell is your consequence. But you recognize Jesus is the answer. And you say, preacher, I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want my sin anymore. I need that new birth. I need God to move in. I need God to reach down into my heart, take my heart, and do what I can't do with my life and my sin. I need Jesus as my Savior. And with heads bowed, and I ask that heads be bowed because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything. But I do want to pray for you, and you need my prayers. You say, preacher, I don't want my sin. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to miss heaven. I need Jesus. If that's you, would you just simply raise your hand? Just put it up so I can see it. Just put it up and hold it there for a moment. Just hold it up. And all right, I see one and I see two here. And anybody else, thank you. You may put your hands down. I see a third one here. Anybody else, just slip it up and see a young hand in the back there. All right, anybody else? Just quickly, just put it up so I can see it. I want to include you in the prayer. You say, preacher, don't pray without seeing my hand. Thank you so much. I see your hand there. You may put it down. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, preacher, don't pray without seeing my hand. I want you to pray for me. Anybody else? Just quickly put it up and right back down. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Anybody else? Just one more moment. Just want to make sure if God's tugging at your heart, God's dealing with you. I don't want to leave you out. Anybody else? Lord Jesus, thank you for these, my friends, whose hands were raised indicating that they need you and they don't want to miss heaven. They don't want to go into eternity without you as their Savior. And Lord, I said I would pray for them, and I'm praying that you would work in their heart and life and help them to see that you're dealing with them for a reason and help them to make the personal choice before it's too late. Lord, help them to see that it is very significant that they recognize their need as they've raised their hand, but help them to see that raising their hand is not what saves them, but Jesus is what saves them, and that they need to make that personal choice to call upon you. I pray that you would help them before it's too late. Help them, I pray. Please help them and bring them to that place of a decision to choose you as their Savior.